Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and today I want to remind you that all it takes to complain is a mouth. Sometimes we need to keep the mouth shut and just be grateful to God and to others with our hearts. You know, sometimes things happen that we don't know how to react to. A man was driving a Volkswagen Bug following a farm truck that was hauling a load of pigs. One of the pigs fell out of the truck. Was by the side of the road. The man stopped and picked the pig up and set it in the passenger seat. He proceeded down the road at a high rate of speed, trying to catch the truck and give back the pig. A state trooper saw him speeding and pulled him over, and the man explained he was trying to catch the truck and give the pig back. The trooper said he would never catch the truck now. He'd have to go too fast. It would be dangerous. And the man asked, "Then what should I do with the pig?" The trooper said, "Take it to the zoo." The next day, the trooper saw the man in the Volkswagen again, and he still had the pig with him sitting in the passenger seat. The trooper pulled him over and said, "I thought I told you to take that pig to the zoo." The man said, "I did, and we had so much fun that we're going to the beach today." You know, when we face a problem, we often panic and cave in because we don't know what to do. Paul tells us to trust God and thank him for his solution and strength. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ." In Budapest, a man went to the rabbi and complained, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered, "Well, take your goat into the room with you." Well, the man couldn't believe what he was hearing, but the rabbi insisted, "Do as I say and come back in a week." A week later, the man came back looking more distraught than ever. "We can't stand it," he told the rabbi, "that the goat is filthy." The rabbi then said, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." A radiant man returned to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every moment of it now that there's no goat, only the 9 of us." You know, being thankful seems to be a lost art today. Warren Wiersbe illustrated this problem in his commentary on Colossians. He told about a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. In 1860, a ship ran aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Years later, at his funeral, it was said not one person that he rescued ever thanked him. You know, people seem to love to grumble and complain. It motivates us, and it doesn't require any special talent, just a mouth. A cowboy was riding a stallion down a dirt road when a police officer flashed his lights and pulled him over. He said, "Sir, I've been trying to pull you over for a mile. Do you know that your wife fell off the horse a mile down the road?" The cowboy smiled and replied, "Well, thank God. I thought for a moment that I'd become deaf." A young man who was told by his doctor he had only 6 months to live, he was in panic shock. He asked the doctor, "What was there that could be done? Was there any answer?" After all, he was still young and he had many things left on his bucket list. The doctor thought and finally gave him a solution. The doctor said to find the ugliest, most cantankerous woman in the county and marry her. Find a woman who would incessantly nag and complain about everything he said or did. Then buy the most beat-up old pickup truck you can find, and preferably one that wouldn't run all the time. Then find a run-down apartment right in the middle of the slum area in downtown. Somewhat skeptical, the young man looked at the doctor and asked, "Doc, are you sure that'll help me live longer?" "Well, not at all," replied the doctor, "but it sure will make 6 months seem like a lifetime." A scientific study found complainers live longer, at least it seems like it, to those around us. Apparently, Complaining seems to give purpose to go on living. Wouldn't it be better to find a more positive purpose? Grumbling and gratitude are learned behaviors. How we were raised influences us. If we were from a home where there was a lot of negativism, a lot of complaining, a lot of finding fault, chances are that's where we will be too. We've all seen a mom nudging a little child saying, "What do you say to the nice person?" And the child timidly says, "Thank you." Maybe some believers need to be nudged with, "What do you say to the nice God?" Expressing our gratitude should be expected. Saying thanks is polite behavior. It's good manners that are rare today. Can you remember when politeness was more common than it is today? Now, when you do say thank you, the response is always, "No problem." Never have figured that out. I didn't think there was a problem. I just thought the answer would be, "You're welcome." Well, we expect people to thank us, but so does God. Remember the story of the 10 lepers there in Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19? It says, as they continued onward toward Jerusalem, they reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As they entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, sir, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go to the Jewish priest and show him that you are healed." And as they were going, their leprosy disappeared. One of them came back to Jesus shouting, "Glory to God, I'm healed." He fell flat on the ground in front of Jesus, face downward in the dust, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a despised Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." You know, faith healed not only the one leper who came back, but also the 9 who appealed to Jesus for pity, but took off and didn't come back. What will move us to stay close to Jesus? What will move us to be obedient, like Jesus said, is so critical. Praise and thankfulness reminds us of how Jesus is working in our lives and all that Jesus has done to heal us from the deadly disease of sin. The Bible commands gratitude from us. Psalm 100 verses 4 and 5 says, go through his open gates with great thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind, and his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. You know, it's sort of like Jesus is ordering us to love our enemies. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it said, "Listen, all of you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Genuine thankfulness is spontaneous. It's not forced, and yet spontaneity comes more easily to a disciplined heart. Thank him even when you don't feel like it. Showing gratitude should be a natural part of life. Cultivate the habit of expressing thanks. Look for hidden blessings. Paul said in Colossians 4:2, "Don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come." We complain about our gifts and our talents and what we have, what we don't have. We're different from what we'd like to choose if we could. We complain about our looks, our brains, our popularity. Not every gift would be good for us to have. God knows what we need, and God has provided that for us. Beauty can lead to vanity. Intelligence can lead to pride. Strength to belligerence. Forget all your problems and find God's priorities. Being thankful often helps us see the bigger picture. Jesus gave thanks for a meal just hours before his death. He saw the bigger picture. And in John 13:3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything and that he had come from God and would return to God, and how he loved his disciples. You know, your problems might even make you a better person. We discover God's will for us in a special way. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, no matter what happens, Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. God's will can develop as we learn the habit of being thankful. Thank God in the midst of adversity. Thank God for whatever you're facing and going through, because God will stand with you if you will turn to Him. Is everything that happens to us wonderful? Well, of course not. Much of it is the result of sin and selfishness. Everything is either good or can be made good. I mean, for instance, what if you're driving down the freeway and you have a flat tire? You say, well, I don't see any good in that. How could there be any good there, having to try to change the tire out in the middle of all that traffic in the heat of the day? Well, stop and thank God, because He might have seen a little later on that there would be a horrible wreck and you'd be involved in it if you didn't have to stop and change the flat tire. I don't know. God has His way of taking care of us. Corrie ten Boom told the story about fleas and how she had to be thankful for them. That sounds silly. Here, she says, Barracks 8 was in the quarantine compound next to us, perhaps as a deliberate warning to newcomers, were located in the punishment barracks. From there, all day long and often into the night, came the sounds of hell itself. They were not the sounds of anger or any human emotion, but of a cruelty altogether detached. Blows landing in regular rhythm, screams keeping pace. We would stand in our 10 deep ranks with our hands trembling at our sides, longing to jam them against our ears to make the sound stop. It grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Yet in the midst of the suffering, the women prisoners around Corey and Betsy found comfort in their little Bible studies they held in the barracks. Corey writes, they gathered around the Bible like waifs clustered around a blazing fire. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. When they were moved to Barracks 28, Corey was horrified by the fact that their reeking straw bed platform swarmed with fleas. How could they live in such a place? It was Betsy who discovered God's answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her. Then around me in the dark, foul-aired room, they thanked God for the fact they were together. They thanked God that they had a Bible. They even thanked God for the horrible crowds of prisoners, that more people would be able to hear God's word. And then Betsy thanked God for the fleas. The fleas! This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. It turned out that Betsy was not wrong. The fleas were a nuisance, but a blessing after all. The women were able to have Bible studies in the barracks with a great deal of freedom, never bothered by supervisors coming in harassing them. They finally discovered that it was the fleas that kept those supervisors out. Through those fleas, God protected the women from abuse and harassment. Dozens of desperate women were free to hear the comforting, hope-giving word of God. Through those fleas, God protected the women from much worse things and made sure they had their deepest, truest needs met. Now, as a note, you know, we are thankful in everything, not for everything. That's the difference. But remember Romans 8:28 that says, for all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And so we've got to stop and realize how God takes care of us in every situation and be thankful. Thank Him for encouragement that you get from your friends and from your church and from the Bible. You might be going through difficult times, but learn to depend on God, your loving Heavenly Father. Thank Him for being there to give you strength in hard places. Keep a record of God's faithfulness to you. You know, the old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And I think that's probably good that we should list our blessings. Write them down and see what it is that God's doing in your life. Expressing our gratitude increases our love. Being thankful helps us not to take our gifts for granted and not to take the giver for granted. People and God appreciate your thankfulness. Tell God thank you in prayer, in your attitudes and obedience, and in your testimony to people. Psalm 35:18 says, save me and I will thank you publicly before the entire congregation, before the largest crowd I can find. We need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. We will encourage others when we give God glory. Make a habit of expressing thankfulness to God, to those who are around you. Tell your family that you appreciate them. And when was the last time you said thank you to your wife or your husband or to your kids? Sometimes, you know, the kids just need to have some positive input into their lives too. I mean heartfelt thanks, not just thanks for cooking dinner. Expressing heartfelt appreciation can remove a lot of stress. I thank Marty, my loving wife and my best friend, for all the time she's been there for me. God certainly blessed me with a wonderful treasure when He gave me that lady for my wife. Sometimes I jokingly say, today we celebrate 45 years of marital bliss, and that's not bad out of 60 years, ha ha. This year we are celebrating 60 years of marriage, next Wednesday, August 20. When we got married, some college friends expressed doubt that we could make it last. And I want you to know we're still waiting to see if it's going to last, but I think we've got a pretty good chance of making it permanent. I thank God for the privilege and blessing of having my wonderful wife. A couple had been married for 50 years. It had been a rough marriage, an endurance contest, in fact. They couldn't get along, but they stayed together for the sake of the children and the grandchildren, and both of them were just very, very miserable in their marriage. Their family wanted to celebrate their 50th anniversary with a fancy dinner and a big party and a lot of festivities, and neither of them wanted to go through the sham of celebrating their bad marriage. It seemed hypocritical, but they'd do it rather than disappoint their family. And so the wife said, we can't just continue this marriage. You know, both of us are miserable. So after this party, I think we should pray for God to take one of us home, and then I will go live with my sister. You know, when we express heartfelt thanksgiving, we influence others. In his book, Living Life on Purpose, Greg Anderson told how one man finally recovered his joy. His wife had left him. He was completely devastated and depressed. He lost faith in himself, in other people, and in God. He had no joy in living. And one rainy morning, he went to a small neighborhood restaurant for breakfast. Several people were in the diner. Nobody was speaking to anybody else. One miserable friend hunched over the counter, stirring his coffee. A young mother and her little girl sat in a small booth by the window. They had just been served their food, and the little girl broke the silence, almost shouting, Mama, why don't we say our prayers here? Well, the waitress who had just served them turned around and said, sure, honey, we pray here. Will you say a prayer for us? She turned and looked at the rest of the people in the restaurant and said, bow your heads. Surprisingly, one by one, the heads went down. The little girl bowed her head, folded her hands, and said, God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. Amen. Well, the prayer changed the whole atmosphere. People began to talk to each other, and the waitress said, we should do that every morning. The depressed man said, all of a sudden, my whole frame of mind started to improve. From that little girl's example, I started to thank God for all that I did have and stop measuring and all the things I didn't have. I started to choose happiness. I think we ought to look at the benefits of a thankful heart. A thankful heart will help navigate challenges with a more optimistic outlook. Recognizing the good in difficult situations can build resilience and give us a sense of purpose. Practicing a thankful outlook makes us more aware of our surroundings and the blessings in our lives, which will lead us to a more fulfilling and meaningful life. You know, so often what we do is we look around and we see what other people have that we don't, but we don't look around and see how God has blessed us and we have so much more than a lot of other people. And I don't mean selfishly, but we ought to thank God for his blessings. Cultivating a thankful heart not only enhances personal well-being, but also enriches our relationships and spiritual life, making it a powerful practice for our overall happiness and fulfillment. Blessings Christians have received should be noted and shared with others. We should join in fulfilling God's dream for eternity. What's God's dream? It's found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, there are people that think that God just predestined someone and before, you know, even as born, God's decided whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. The only way that we would end in hell is if we decide to disobey God and decide not to follow his will, because God has provided every means, every effort we need to have our sins forgiven and get to heaven. So make expressing thanks an important part of your life. Remember, all it takes to complain is a mouth. How much better would it be if we learned to use that mouth to say thank you and to praise God. Now there's one further thought. Gratitude is like a vaccine. By focusing on that which is praiseworthy, gratitude inoculates us against the disease of bitterness and resentment. Gratitude also is an antitoxin. By focusing on that which is praiseworthy, we counteract the poisonous lie of the devil that says trials prove that God has abandoned us. Gratitude is an antiseptic. By focusing on the praiseworthy, we sterilize our thoughts of all that breed the germ of discontent. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Listen to Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, today, I just think it'd be wonderful if we each one would stop and praise God for the way he works in our lives, for his wonderful plan of salvation, for the fact that he's prepared a place for us with him for all eternity. It's going to be so glorious, you don't want to miss it. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, boy, what a day this would be to confess your sins and ask him to come into your heart. Let's pray for you. Dear Father, I'd pray that you help each one that's listened to this podcast today to know how important it is to know the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring, to confess our sins to you, have our sins forgiven, and know that our names are written in your book of life. Please, God, help each one of us to draw close to you and help those who don't know you to confess their sins to Jesus Christ and accept him today as their personal Savior. Well, amen. Thank you. I appreciate so much your listening today. I would tell you, if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can use the number I've dedicated for this podcast, which is 480-328-4048. Or if you wanted to, you could text me at my old phone number, 623-845-2741. Or you can call me on that number if you want to. You can write to me through the box 4031 Sun Valley, Arizona 86029. Or if you really wanted to get in contact with me, you know, you can even Gmail me, which is lowercase revwmwwoods@gmail.com. Anyhow, thank God for you, and I just hope that you have a good, blessed rest of the day. God bless you.